And so our fourth speaker from this morning's session comes to us from Kenya, Dr. Festus Maruthi, who is the Assistant Director in Socioeconomics and Applied Statistics Division of the Kenyan Agricultural Research Institute in Kari. Dr. Maruthi, he holds a Bachelor of Science in Agriculture and also a Master of Science in Agricultural Economics, both from the University of Nairobi, and his PhD is in Agricultural Economics from Reading University in the UK. So I introduce you, I invite you to come up.
Thank you very much. And as it was said early in the morning or earlier, I'm giving this presentation on behalf of my colleagues from the Minister of Agriculture in Kenya. Because of traveling for logistics, they were not able to come, but in descendant, I could study for them and share with you what they learned when they requested to make a presentation on the food security situation in Kenya and the Horn of Africa. I think from the day we had the public address, that is on the day before yesterday, we are going through a lot of discussions about the food situation in the Horn of Africa, including Kenya. I want to just give some highlights, some overview of the situations, because I know quite a number of you have learned a lot about this region and what is happening. So basically, this is just to kind of again provoke our discussions, the way forward in terms of the food security in this particular region. When you talk about the Horn of Africa, you are referring basically to about 7 countries, although currently I think most of you know that Sudan is now, there are 2 countries, you have Sudan, former Sudan, and the Southern Sudan. And these are countries which are basically members of what we call the Intergovernmental Authority on Development, IGAD. They have a combined population of about 160 million people. 7 of them who live in the in areas prone to extreme food shortages. And threatened nearly every other 10 years, at least one of these countries is threatened with famine. I think so, you know, we have heard this from the media every other 10. In the case of Kenya, we say it's where, as we say, that's where we come from, where I come from. The country is about 580,000 square kilometers, with an estimated population of 40 million, but 46 of them from the government statistics live below what you call the poverty line, $1 per capita per person. This is quite extremely low. And over time, we realized that 10 suffer from transient chronic food insecurity and poor nutrition. We also know that two million of the people there suffer from chronic food insecurity and hence require food assistance every other time. And in terms of fear droughts or evidence, this number can rise all the way up to about 3.5 million. We have a rate of crops which are grown in Kenya which could meet the food security requirements. We have a rate of them for cereals, pulses, roots, and tuber crops. Others including horticulture, bananas, sweet potatoes, fruits. But what happens in that in this region is that maize is the main staple crop. And whenever we have a shortage of maize, basically it becomes a crisis. Maize is grown, can be grown in different crop systems, intercrop, also can have monocrop. And this is one area we are going to need to do a lot of diversification, a lot of discussions with our community so that we can, as much as we require maize or what you call corn, we can start thinking about other crops. Also, in the same livestock is also very key in this area. and they are cattle for milk, meat and eggs. It's nearly everywhere in the country. Sheep and goats. Then we are also important. Then we are poultry. And in poultry, of course, you can think about the commercial poultry production systems. But what is becoming very prominent now is what you call the indigenous poultry of the local chicken, because of its nutrition and incomes generation, particularly for women. In the region also, and because of our country, close to 20% is what you call arid and semi-arid areas. Camels are quite important, and these animals, which are due for the arid lands, due to their resilience to drought. But I think, as quite a number of you might know, there have been very little investments or programs for promotion of camels in these particular regions. So it's one entry point for us to be thinking about as we think of, especially the northern parts of Kenya, Somalia, and all that, where camels are quite adaptive. Then we have beekeeping, fishery, fishing, and eels. They are also prominent. Let's talk. As of that, the 1st August, because we are going to give some kind of status of the food security situation in the country. As of that, the 1st August, we earned about 11.4 million bags of maize, which is available in the, what you call the National Strategic Reserves, and that is with the farmers, traders, and millers. Then in beans, we have also about 2 million bags. Rice, which we normally import to supplement whatever is locally produced, we have about 0.5 million bags. What this means is that unless, like now, we are about to go to harvesting season, in the next 3 months or so, this stock can be depleted. So we hope by the harvesting season, by December, maybe we'll get some maize. That also means we have to supplement some importation. This table trying just to give an indication of the potential of the area available for maize production and what has been. We are talking about close to 2 million hectares and maize. But what is one thing just to show here is nearly within like this period of 5 years, 3 years we are in the deficit, which are to be met through different sources and imports, aid and all that. So that you realize you have a fluctuation. When the rains are quite good, you are able to get a good crop and you can have a surplus. But more often than not, you also go into deficit. I don't tend to go through this again because most of the speakers from the day we started this conference have talked about the causes of food insecurity in this region. Just to underline the effects of climate change, it's quite unpredictable currently. I was telling somebody this morning that we are expect our rains, you know, like the coming rains, short rains, we expect them in October to December. Part of August and September, when we expect rains, was quite wet in Kenya. So these are some of the challenges farmers have to go through. We have also the issue about low productivity of the crops, commodities we are growing. And this is something, just in this case, go beyond what you have here, just to describe. We have a lot of technologies, a lot of potential institutions like CARI and others have done quite a lot of work, but we still find the yield gap. What we are able to get potentially and what farmers get is still a very, it's quite wide. We have a narrow livelihood base. Most of the people in the rural areas are agricultural based 80%. And what we are finding is that there are very few other opportunities apart from farming, and this is the main source of revenue. So something has to be done given the commodities farmers have and what needs they need to focus more on widening that base to other opportunities. We have issues of weak infrastructure, reduced age. I think we have wondered about this all before. A lack of proper policies. Whereas I think like ERU people in Canada and other parts of this part of the world, we have a very clear policies for social safeties for taking care of the poor women, the poor, but in this part of our world, you know, not very many policies to that effect. So when somebody has poor, you are dependent. It can be bad sometimes. This is about knowledge, information, and all that. It has come out. Then we are told, as it was said yesterday, farm organizations are important, but due to their poor governance and the low participation, decision making, makes them just be there passively and not actively be able to provide what is required for them to get out of their situations. As I said, 80% of our country is ASO, but generally the policies we have are neglect, quite a bit the pastoralism as an intervention or as also revenue for some of these communities. And when these animals die, it becomes just a big disaster for farmers. Well, I think that one is clear. It's all about malnutrition, diseases, and all that. So it becomes quite a big problem. As I showed in the map, we go to Somalia, and the issue about food security, the security there, in the borders, the refugees, and all that, because it's quite a major challenge. So what are the causes of low farm productivity? As I've said, climate change, and basically the low adoption of technologies, it's a major concern, and we need to be doing something about it. I think the issue about high and increasing food prices, this has been mentioned before. The issue about the distribution, we find some areas in the country, a lot of rural areas are suffering. So this is something we need to be thinking about. And the structure market, all the way to post-harvest management, just that a lot of losses after harvest. So this does not mean the government of Kenya, and I think also the others in the region have been quite ambiguous, certain beings. And the short-term initiatives have been adopted, like delivering of duty on important cereals, provision of food range, targeted support to agriculture, water, the health, nutrition sectors, and what we call the economic stimulus program, and also support the educational sector and the school feeding program, especially in the ASO areas. We have several long-term programs in the Minister of Agriculture and Minister of Livestock, and I'm not going through this, but I'm just trying to indicate there are so many initiatives in extension focusing specific commodities, input supply, irrigation, and all that. So they expect a bit happening, but I think it's how we consolidate all these efforts. This is key. We have long-term livestock support programs, again in the ASOS. Smaller dairy and fishing. Then also, the government recognizes the importance of R&D and the group carry and our partners. There are several projects being implemented, and one of them is was mentioned yesterday, is like the one collaborating carry and McGill University. This is supported by through the fund, which was talked about by the minister yesterday. Then we have several from the World Bank, the EU, and collaborative projects with other donors, which are all geared towards generating technologies which can improve food security. I just wanted to mention about this project, which we managed to get the grant this year. It's a collaborative project where we responded to the first call for proposals by the Canada International Food Security Fund. The minister talked about it. This for 4.3 million Canadian dollars. And the whole aim of this project is to identify innovative mechanisms for enhancing adoption of improved technologies. I think from a third perspective, we wanted to see how can we use our technologies, our knowledge, to enhance food and nutrition security. Also, contribute to gender and environmental conservation. This is one project among the ones which were mentioned yesterday, I think 17 in the world. We launched this project in May this year to run for 42 months. We'll be focusing on a pilot in three semi-arid counties of Eastern Kenya, which are prone to influence security. We have fulfilled objectives of the project, so I don't have to go through them. I think we can get this one written. But basically, it's to understand the traditional food and indigenous knowledge systems and the drivers of food security, capitalist adoption, for the technologies. Then also we feel we are borrowed, we can increase household consumption of locally produced foods, and also try to strengthen links between local and external and input and output markets, and also at the local level contribute to policy formulation. So in summary, I would say that Kenya has been responding strategically to the food security problem, and through management of emergency and mitigation of its effects, the combination of the central role in the central role of investment in semi-arid and arid lands, towards measures we support recovery in the short term. And also we have been strengthening drought resilience and adaptive capacity to climate change in the medium to long term through what you are calling Vision 2030, looking at capacities of communities to adapt to climate change and focusing less on individual projects but looking at our holistic perspective. So in terms of conclusions and way forward as we move from here now, it's we feel that food and nutrition security in the Horn of Africa means a more holistic intervention by the international community like us here, working in collaboration with the local government, civil society, and the private sector. And more importantly, involving the target communities in decision making. Also, we feel we need more focus, more resources targeting in-depth long-term interventions to mitigate the effects of climate change, including drought, environmental degradation, and security. As I said, especially in Somalia, where we have had former government in the last 20 years or so. And also supporting R&D efforts for economic development and provision of credit or for input access, possible and possibly insurance products like what Guatemala we have seen. These are possibilities, so it's something we need to be thinking about. I don't know this, but can you have been subject to debate, but we see it as being working. Whether we can reconsider the old policies of targeted input subsidies and its implementation given high cost of production, so that we're able also to avail food to the consumer at a more affordable price. What like we said food subsidy or we said to go for food aid? I think that's the question we should be discussing as we think about our programs and all that. It's controversial, but there's something people should be getting on the table to discuss. More investments in infrastructure, I think that has been mentioned earlier. I think the use of land tenure and land subdivision is something we have to deal with in our countries. We have 10% of our land in Kenya is only 20%, but this is land is always being subdivided between the sands and all that. So it's something we need to think about. Policy supported to restore development in the arid and semi-arid areas needs more attention. A lot of efforts are going to cure production, but as we have seen, a very, very huge area is only adapted to restore. Need appropriate mechanisms to manage strategic food reserves at the national level for quick responses to food needs during emergencies. So finally, Mr. Chairman, I think this is what is in our entrance today. The Daily Nation, which is the one of the key and big many newspaper there. So the question is, set possible to avoid this kind of entrance in the future so that at least we're able to produce food rather than always focusing on food aid. Thank you for listening to me. Thank you.